Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. A little past 11 o'clock here. Welcome. Broadcasting live from St. Louis. You could be listening really anywhere. You could be listening digitally way after the fact. You could be in your car downloading this and listening to it on Christmas morning, for all I know. But really, we're getting close to Thanksgiving. Looking forward to it. I'll be here tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night. And then we have a couple of special hosts that will fill in. Wednesday night, I believe, is Brad Young. Thursday night is Harry Hamm doing Thanksgiving special night here on Overnight America. Then I believe on Sunday night next week, we'll have another special guest, which I think is Gary Nolan. So looking forward to spending 4 hours with you tonight, and we'll keep the phone lines open for you. I'm still sore from earlier. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder why I do my own car repairs when it just beats me up. It takes me like 2 or 3 days to recover. I'm just not like I used to be when I was younger. I used to be able to work on the car all night. This is what my friends, this is how boring we are. Go ahead, make fun of me, Producer Ben. Go ahead. It's okay.
And now another moment of Ryan Recker getting old.
I knew that was coming. When I was younger, this is what we used to do for fun. We used to repair each other's cars. We would go to a buddy's house and we would park in the garage and we just work on the car. And we'd do that. You know, and then someone else's car will be the next day, and someone else's car will be the next day. This is before YouTube and before we had the internet to go and learn how to do repairs. We had to go buy the special books. It's a children's book or something like that. We'd go buy these, and the illustrations would be terrible. You'd have to be a rocket scientist to understand these illustrations. And we'd try to figure it out, and it really didn't matter. We just had fun working on each other's cars, and it was something to do. What dorky things to do. Other kids are out there actually having fun. We're in the garage working on each other's cars. So for whatever reason, I think, yeah, this is a great idea. I'm just going to keep doing that at my age, 35, which it shouldn't hurt me working on cars. But when you're not used to doing it all the time and you don't have the skill as an actual person that works on a car all day, a mechanic, then I'm just going to go out and do my own thing and hope to get it right. Part of which is I drive an older car. I drive a 14-year-old car, 15-year-old car, so a lot of the pieces aren't like they used to be when they were first put on there. So when it's time to repair something, it could be a challenge to get some of these parts out. Yeah, so I just don't like to take my car to a shop if I feel like I can do it on my own. I feel like I have the ability to, and even if it takes me 2 times as long, 3 times as long to switch something out, I should be fine. Well, once I learn how to do it, I normally could do it pretty quick. When I don't know how to do it, and I don't know the tricks of the trade to get these certain things out, I get stuck. And today I got stuck. Spent 3 hours in the garage. I was able to swap out my radiator hose. That wasn't a big deal because that's pretty simple. The hardest part was trying to collect and clean up all the radiator fluid, the coolant or whatever, that spilled out. It doesn't always smell great, but it's very slippery. And the last thing I want my wife to break another ankle trying to get to her car or whatever in the garage. So worked on that, got that cleaned up, all of those things. Well, halfway cleaned up. There's a part where I couldn't get cleaned up. I just put a rug over it so no one kills himself in the garage. But the hardest part was trying to get, I'm doing these sway bars or whatever they're called. There's like these stabilizer bars on the back wheels. And they're pretty easy to get on and off. The problem is when my car is as old as it is, a lot of parts don't want to move. So I'm able to work it, and it's these stupid screws. One side is hooked up to a ball joint. The other side, it has this one nut that locks, and there's another part that you have to stick like an Allen wrench into the middle of the bolt while you get the nut out. And it's okay, if it works, but I can get one side free, it's the back end where I can't really reach all that well. And the problem is, I think it's stripped a little on the inside. And I tried for hours to try to get this stupid thing out. So I'm in the garage for 3 hours, couldn't even get one of those things off. I got to the point where I said, I'm done. I just can't. I've worked on this too long. I'm going to take it to the shop. And I was defeated. I go on and I tell the wife, yep, I just worked 3 hours in the garage. I got the hose done. That was it. I'm sorry. My head was down, my tail between my legs, thinking I was going to walk in triumphantly. Honey, I did it. Saved us some money. I knew I can do it. It was fun. Well, I wouldn't say fun, but, you know, there's something special about working out in the garage. And while I'm inside, I still haven't been able to get all the grease off my hands. I'm hoping it's gone by Thanksgiving so I don't have to sit at the table with all of the black grease stuck in all the little crevices of my fingers. And while I'm showering, I get the bright idea. I don't have to take my car to the shop because they're probably going to be busy. They're probably going to charge me an arm and a leg just to do something that should be simple. I'll just get bolt cutters and I'll cut the bolts off of these stupid things as opposed to trying to get this Allen wrench on the other side. Great idea. Or I'll find something that'll just saw the thing off. Get like, I don't know. I'll get a blade that can cut through metal or something and just use my jigsaw. I don't care. I'll do anything at this point. I'm in desperation mode. So tomorrow, instead of taking it to the shop, I'm going to go get some bolt cutters. I think that's going to be the way to go. I'm just going to bolt cut these stupid bolt that won't get. And, you know, might as well save my hands some of the anguish on the other side, too, knowing what I'm up against. Plus, you know, I don't know. How much do bolt cutters cost? $30 maybe? $40? I don't know. It's probably going to be $150 just to take it to the shop. I might as well buy the $40 bolt cutters and do my thing and be done with it. It's a pretty simple swap. But I know, I just feel like I want to do everything I can to avoid going into the shop.
You're a tightwad.
Yeah, I know. I knew that was coming too. I am. I just, you know how that feels when you know you could do the job and you just want to save yourself some money. We're coming up. I'm going to be spending all this money to travel back up to visit family for Thanksgiving. Who knows what else we'll be buying. My wife, this is what'll happen. Hey, it's Black Friday. I want to go shopping. Oh, I know how that goes. Got to save the money somehow. And here I am with busted up knuckles so she can go out and do that. Oh, I went to Polar Express on Friday. It was so fun. Oh, man. I don't know how many years they've been doing it here in St. Louis, but what an awesome experience. We got some tickets here through the radio station. It was their sample night, I guess their test run. I think we were part of the very first one. And since they've done it, there was no hiccups. Everything was fine. But they invite the media and some other people. Like last year, my wife knew some friends that went on it because they knew the Santas. And they get on the train, and basically this is their way of, you know, going through the motions, making sure all the people know their roles, their parts. So when all the paying customers get in, everything's smooth. So we go on, we're the guinea pigs, but it didn't matter. Everything went perfect. My kid loved it. Got on the train, they did the hot, hot, hot chocolate dances, and the conductor was so awesome, funny. Great jokes, super nice guy. They had the girls that were coming up and down and they were reading the stories and delivering and doing this and talking to the kids. And the guys were going up and doing their parts. It was just so much fun. If you get a chance to do that, it is absolutely worth the money, even though I didn't pay for this one on Friday. That was awesome. That was a great part. Radio station picked this up. What a great perk. But I'm telling you, my family bought tickets ahead of time, months ago, because we knew this was going to be a hot ticket. Even though we went on Friday through the radio station, we're still going to go again. We loved it so much. We're going to go twice this year because we already bought the tickets and all. I'm telling you, it was awesome. So I wanted to give a shout out to the Polar Express and all the people that work on it. They did an excellent, excellent job. All right. I read this report. Did you see who was rumored to be the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns? At least someone that was going to go in audition, not audition, but interview with them. What a crazy story this is. And have you heard of Trumpy Bear? I know this is a couple days old, but this is a really wild thing. If you haven't heard of it, we're going to get to both of these things coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are. Sunday night, really Monday morning. Trying to get into a vacation mode week. hopefully you're feeling it already and you're able to take the week off. If not, that's okay. We'll be with you every weeknight here on Overnight America. Guess who the Cleveland Browns, for at least a small period of time, were considering as a head coach? Well, I don't know. This has kind of been denied. Maybe they weren't actually considering it. But ESPN's Adam Schefter, who breaks a lot of different stories in the NFL, apparently tweeted this out. Browns interested in interviewing Condoleezza Rice for head coaching job. Condoleezza Rice always loved football. Condoleezza Rice never shy about football. She's helped with other aspects of football. And it's not that far-fetched considering that she's highly intelligent. And I think she said she would love to be commissioner of the NFL one day. That's kind of her thing. So she had to respond to this as the rumors started swirling around. Says, I love my Browns, and I know they will hire an experienced coach to take us to the next level. On a more serious note, I do hope that the NFL will start to bring women into the coaching profession as position coaches and eventually coordinators and head coaches. One doesn't have to play the game to understand it and motivate players, but experience counts, and it is time to develop a pool of experienced women coaches. By the way, I'm not ready to coach, but I would like to call a play or two next season if the Browns need ideas. And at no time will I call for a prevent defense. Now, that's the way you handle it. So what do? You have Condoleezza Rice get a couple of plays in there? Do you bring her up to the booth? Do you give her a headset? Do you let her call a few? I don't know what it takes to call a play, but I've played Madden a few times on PlayStation. There's a button for them to have Madden pick out your play. Maybe it's just as simple as, hey, ask Madden. But Condoleezza Rice, not so much. But people are really high on her. She previously served on the College Football Playoff Committee. Fans love the idea. Bring her in. Condoleezza Rice. They got to be so frustrated. When I lived in Ohio, it was a special type of fan to be a Browns fan. You just love punishment every single year. It was horrible. I've been to a couple of Browns games. I used to go to their scrimmage game. I remember the year that, Brady Quinn was brought in, and they thought that was going to be, there's always someone that's going to be the next big thing for the Cleveland Browns. And as a Detroit fan, it always felt good to know the Clevelands were out there because you were never that bad. There was always a Cleveland. Boy, did they have their issues. I shouldn't be mocking them all that much. But man, was it bad. And I remember going to a couple of games. It was so cold all the time. It was right off of the river. And the games were always so terrible. And you're thinking to yourself, how in the world can fans sit through this? I just don't get it. Well, anything they can do to try to get an edge, you might as well let Condoleezza Rice in there. I don't see it being that terrible of an idea. You know, when there was another terrible idea, or maybe the most genius idea out there, have you heard of a Trumpy Bear? I guess this was for sale last year, but really went under the radar. It's a teddy bear that looks like Donald Trump. It's a really weird thing. I really don't know how else to describe it other than think of Donald Trump's hair on a teddy bear. Also think of them adding extra little blonde eyebrows. And then you have the top collar part of a business suit in a tie, the cufflinks. And on the back, it's almost like you can pull out a blanket out of his back as if this bear is harboring an American flag blanket. What a weird, weird thing. Now, they have a commercial out there, and I'm going to try to explain this to you.
The wind whispered through the forest. A storm is coming. I am the storm.
All right, so they have, it's like clouds and it's dark and there's a bear growling. Ah, I mean, it's really, it's a lot already.
Great American Grizzly. Introducing the original Trumpy Bear.
They got to get the deepest voice they can to get this guy.
Trumpy Bear.
They put this out to be the greatest invention in the history of the world.
A fearless, super plush American Grizzly. Trumpy Bear was born June 14th, Flag Day. Just.
All right. It's so weird. You know, the guy that was voicing this had to have felt a little hard to read all of this and not chuckle. I'm not saying it's not cool. What I'm saying is I would buy this as a gift for someone else and hand this over to them just for the sheer conversation of it all.
Find the secret zipper and pull out the American flag themed blanket.
Oh, the people look so happy. She's sitting on her couch and she's cuddling Trumpy Bear with this blanket.
Show your patriotism and proudly display Trumpy on any American holiday.
God bless America and God bless Trumpy Bear.
Oh, this old lady, she's standing in her front lawn. She's got this giant American flag inflatable and she's standing out there with the little Trumpy Bear. It's a pretty big bear.
American industry once ruled the world. And now, we're back on track again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
Trumpy Bear sits proudly at the front of the motorcycle and loves to cruise with his brother.
I'm a former Marine, and I'm proud to have Trumpy Bear ride by my side. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
All right. I don't know. Motorcycles? Is that really? You're going to strap down a teddy bear to the front of your motorcycle? Isn't that the end of Toy Story 3 where they put that teddy bear in the front of the semi? At the very end of Toy Story 3, so the you've seen the movie, right? Where they go and apparently they get the toys donated to this one daycare and there's like the two different sides. One side's for the really young kids that are terrible to the toys and one side's for the older kids who take care of the toys a little bit better. Well, it's kind of like a monarchy almost where this one purple bear runs it all and he's like really controlling and mean to all the other toys that are, you know, relegated to the younger and they're all the toys are afraid they're going to get ripped apart by these young kids. And eventually, you know, obviously the purple bear's a bad bear and he gets thrown to the dump and someone picks him up or whatever and straps it on the front of their semi. Fitting way for him to eat bugs the rest of his life or whatever it is. Why Trumpy Bear on a motorcycle? They show him. They put him right behind the windshield of this motorcycle. I don't ride bike, but wouldn't that be basically, like, how long would that bear last there? Wouldn't it fly off within the first week? I mean, what would you have to do to secure a bear up front? I mean, and plus you're taking up all of that visual space. Are you willing to give up that vision you need in order to stay safe on the road? I guess.
I saw Trumpy Bear. I knew I had to have him. He's a fighter just like me.
Some firehouses have Dalmatians. We have Trumpy Bear.
Oh, man. So they got four firefighters on the back of a rig. They all got their Trumpy Bear.
I've been in law enforcement for over 4 years, and I love my Trumpy Bear. Trumpy Bear always has my back. When I go on patrol, I'm rolling with Trumpy Bear.
You are not. You are not bringing Trumpy Bear on the job. You're a police officer. Anyone have one of these? I would absolutely love to hear a review if this is as good as advertised. Or is anyone going to get one this year? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I would so buy this as a gift for someone just to get the reaction.
Business owner and business is great again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
Yeah, thank you, Trumpy Bear.
People know me as Frankie DeBrome. I own my own commercial cleaning service. My business is doing great. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
Frankie the Broom. You want to know how much Trumpy Bear cost? Go ahead, take a guess.
When I ride with Trumpy Bear, he makes my golf game great again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
Order the Super Plus Trumpy Bear for only two payments of $19.95 and receive a special certificate of authenticity. Call now or log on to find out how you can get the Trumpy Bear Golf Club cover. Don't miss out on owning a piece of American history.
Yeah, it's not really a piece of American history. You might be exaggerating a little. So two payments of $20, so $40 total, plus about $6 shipping and handling. So about $46 for this Trumpy Bear. And they're really playing this up. I wonder if this is in association with Trump's people at all, or if it's just some guy that said, you know, I could take the caricature of the president, put Trumpy, and it's just enough to skirt the copyright laws. I wonder if they had to license this or not, if they just did it. It's amazing to me. The video itself, this viral marketing is pretty remarkable. The person that put this video together, I know they were trying to be a little over the top, a little off. Right? They were not trying to be serious here. They were trying to play into this. We know people are going to make fun of it, but we also know that it's going to sell Trumpy Bear stuffed animals at the end of the day. I don't care if people make fun of it. I don't care if it's going to be in front of everyone because everyone's going to talk about it. It's going to be on the local news. It's going to be on the internet. People are going to share it on Facebook. People are going to put it up over here. People are going to share it over there. They're going to send it to their friends. They might even buy one. You know, they know exactly what they're doing, and it is working. Oh, it is working. $46 or whatever after shipping to get this thing your way. You know people are buying this thing. You want a Trumpy Bear? Too bad we don't have a promotions budget for Overnight America. I'd buy a whole bunch of these and give them away. You think Steve would let us do that? No! No money for promotions on Overnight America. What a bummer. Why wouldn't Legal let us do this? What would be wrong with giving these away? We just purchase them and give them out. I should find out. That might be a fun thing to do. I don't know if the other shows really don't do giveaways. Every once in a while, they'll have things during the day. We always miss out on it. We don't get the word to win or the keyword to the phrase that pays. We don't get all those good stuff that they get during the day. Got to get something through the overnight. Trumpy Bear, that's the answer. All right. President Trump was on Fox News Sunday. I got a couple of clips from his appearance from earlier. He talked about a lot of different things. I mean, mostly Chris Wallace was asking him about Jim Acosta, freedom of speech, freedom of press, was asking him about what's going to happen next when it comes to a couple of different situations. And Whitaker. What do we know about him? You heard some of that on the newscast with CBS at the top of the hour. We'll play some of those coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Here we go, Overnight America. President Trump on Fox News Sunday. Sit-down interview with Chris Wallace. Man, they hit a bunch of different topics. Jim Acosta, enemy of the people attacks. Won't overrule Whitaker. Wow. They really hit the gambit. I like Chris Wallace a lot. I think he is good at what he does. I really do. He interviewed President Trump on Fox News Sunday this morning. The two spent a lot of time talking about the press. Lots of time. So let's play some of this here. And if you want to sound off on it, you can. 314-436-7900. Here is the part where he talks about Jim Acosta.
Federal judge who you appointed has just ruled that you must give CNN reporter Jim Acosta his press pass back. Your reaction to the ruling?
It's fine. I mean, it's not a big deal. What they said, though, is that we have to create rules and regulations for conduct, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing that. We're going to write them up right now. It's not a big deal. And if he misbehaves, we'll throw him out. Or we'll stop the news conference. Actually,
what are your rules going to be? What is it that you're saying?
They'll have their doing
this. This is over the line. And
you know what's surprising to me is the White House had no rules in place before this incident. Wouldn't you think that there would be some written rules of conduct for the press? Or have the press? Is it just now the press are acting so terrible inside of the White House? Isn't that when people criticize President Trump and they say, "Oh, it's never like this." You know what? You want to know why? Because it was never like this. If the press acted the same way with President Obama, you might have been more critical of the press. If the press acted the same way during the Clinton administration, maybe you would have reacted that way too. But to be honest, look, the way that they treat President Trump is like no other president before him at all. Did they need rules in order for the White House correspondence, the White House press corps, do they actually need to say these things, that there needs to be etiquette, there needs to be respect? It's crazy that we have to do this now. To me, this is just another piece of evidence that things have gotten out of control when it comes to a lot of these members of the press.
They're doing
them now. I mean, we'll have rules of decorum. You know, you can't keep asking questions. We had a lot of reporters in that room, many, many reporters in that room, and they were unable to ask questions because this guy gets up and starts, you know, doing what he's supposed to be doing for him and for CNN and, you know, just shouting out questions. But I will say this, look, nobody believes in the First Amendment more than I do. And if I think somebody's acting out of sorts, I will leave. I'll say, thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate you coming, and I'll leave. And those reporters will not be too friendly to whoever it is that's acting up.
Oh, so his strategy is, I don't have to, you know, I can just walk out the room if I want to. And then the reporters will gang up on the person that made me walk out of the room? Probably not. I think most of the reporters know each other. I think it's almost a band of brother when it comes to them linking arms, depending on, it doesn't even matter what network they're from. Well, I guess they might hold off on linking arms with someone from InfoWars, for example. They may not want to do that. But most of the major networks, they act that way.
Why didn't you call on Acosta?
Why?
In the first place, I mean, there seems to be there's a simple solution here. Just don't call him.
Actually, I like to do it, but in many cases, I don't. He'll stand up. He's unbelievably rude to Sarah Huckabee, who's a wonderful woman. Unbelievably rude. And I see that, and I actually ask her the same. Why do you call on these people that are so nasty? I mean, I think one of the things we'll do is maybe turn the camera off that faces them, because then they don't have any airtime. Although I'll probably be sued for that, and maybe, you know, win or lose it, who knows? I mean, with this.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Well, I guess maybe the thing is, don't make them into the story. Don't let Jim Acosta have his moment where, you know, he's trying to get on the news, make himself the story, as opposed to the story he's working on. Normally, you ask questions in order to help get a better picture of whatever story you're writing or whatever you're working on or the truth of the matter, whatever it may be. You want to be able to get a statement from an elected official on government work. That's what it's meant to do. That's what it's meant to be. And you are able to do these things unless there's a member of the press that tries to hold it up and tries to filibuster and do this and do that. Then take away, you know, just focus the cameras up front. That's not a bad idea. I don't think it's a bad idea at all. Wouldn't that be funny? What's next? CNN's going to sue the White House over that. You're not giving us enough screen time. Wouldn't that be something? All right, so the press attacks. This is an interesting conversation, Chris. Chris Wallace was asking him about this, too.
Let's get to the bigger issue. In 2017, last year, you tweeted this, and I want to quote it accurately. The fake news media is not my enemy. It is the enemy of the American people.
It's true, 100%. Not the media. I'm glad you're finally quoting it correctly, because they like to leave the fake news.
Okay,
out.
But that's what you said.
The fake news. So the people that are supporting me in particular, they're very smart people. They're hardworking, brilliant, great people. They know when the news is fake, and they get angry when they see all of the fakeness. Frankly, the network.
There have been people who've been critical of other presidents. No president has liked his press coverage. John Kennedy in your Oval Office canceled the subscription to the New York Herald Tribune. Nobody called it the enemy of the American people.
Chris, I'm calling it the fake news is the enemy. It's fake. It's phony.
But a lot of times, sir, it's just news you don't like.
No, it's not. No, no. I don't mind getting bad news if I'm wrong. If I do something wrong, like, for instance.
Yeah, I don't know. There's another story, which I'll get to next hour. He likes to give himself an A-plus on his presidency. I don't know. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of room for being wrong at that point. I do think that we have seen a giant uptick in trying to push the limits of what is newsworthy, what isn't. I do think the news media, by and far, have been purposely negative against this president. When I say purposely, I mean they are purposely deciding the things to report, the things not to report, and they're purposely deciding the ways they're going to spin it. And I don't think their main focus is to be fair anymore, because I think their bias gets in the way. I really do. And there's a lot of instances where you could look and read these stories and say, okay, I can see the... Well, I love Newsbusters as an organization. Newsbusters will analyze the evening news of the three major networks. This is the over-the-air television. And they'll say, why in the world would they spend 30 seconds of time on this, but then 12 minutes of time on this? And it's a good question, because there is some selection bias there. And it might not be necessarily the news reader, the person that you see on your television screen. A lot of it could be the editors. A lot of it could be the network itself. And the same goes with newspapers. What are the things that are reported on? They like to say there is complete control and they're able to report fully on the news as they see it. But I think they're underplaying a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes. And if that was really the case, I think you wouldn't see the extreme amount of negative stories. I think you would start to see more of a balancing act. because I think most people could look at this and see there's a lot of good things that this administration is doing that is completely underreported. But man, they'll jump on anything Michael Avenatti says, and every second he gets. And boy, has he crashed and burned, by the way. All right, I want to get to more of his answer, the enemy of the people. He goes on to explain this a little bit more. I also want to bring up the portion where he talks about Whitaker and when the Mueller investigation, what happens with that next. 314-436-7900. You're listening to Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. How about this? Tom calling in from Ohio. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, first of all, Ryan, happy Thanksgiving to you and to Ben and to your listening audience.
Oh, I can't wait for it. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Not a whole lot.
No.
I mean, I don't do it big. I don't have any family left, so...
Sorry to hear that. Well,
I don't... I'm not a big meat eater right now. I'm trying to really watch my diet. So,
oh, okay.
Turkey's out and ham's out.
Oh.
No, it's not okay. It's a necessity. But anyway, the reason I'm calling this Jim Acosta situation. First of all, I don't understand how a judge can say you have to have rules for a situation, number one, that's gone on for how many decades with no rules. And it's worked out okay. Everybody knew what their role was, and it worked out okay in that regard. And you can't say it's all Trump because Acosta was doing this to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. So
yeah, I don't get it. That doesn't make sense to me. That the argument, did CNN make that argument, or was it the judge that determined that since there were no rules broken, they couldn't be revoked? To me, it doesn't seem like you have to have certain rules in place in order
don't.
To go
and,
back.
And the precedent is that Eric Holder banned Cheryl Atkinson, who was the correspondent, Justice Department correspondent for CBS News, from going into the Justice Department when she was inquiring and you know trying to investigate Fast and Furious. Hmm. He banned her from the Justice Department.
Makes me wonder, too. Can any organization request and be granted? I mean, is there no set of standard? Because it seems like Jim Acosta would have broken that standard.
Well, there was a standard. See, this is judge shopping, and they found a liberal judge that's going to, go with their their side. I was talking with Ben, waiting to get on, and he did make a good point that both sides break the rules. Both Democrats and Republicans.
In the White House?
Well, no, I'm talking about in general, like with elections and what have you. Both sides cheat at times and that sort of thing. And that stuff's got to be stopped. But the other part of it is, there are certain expectations of people. I mean, did you think that there was no rules or should be any rules where Elmer Rosa can go into the Situation Room and record conversations?
Yeah, there's still questions of that. That doesn't make sense. And that really was just dropped. There really hasn't been much of her
or
at all.
Or instances where there are rules, like the server situation, and that's the one I brought to Ben, that both sides really have broken that to some extent.
Yeah. Well, you see that Hillary's going to have to testify again? The Judicial Watch filed another complaint, and it looks like they're going to reopen that.
Well, all I'm getting at is that we're spending too much time on all this nitpicky stuff. And just like the, I don't see how this is not viewed as an invasion. And that's first of all. I don't know whether I gave you the dictionary definition of invasion that Jim Acosta wasn't aware of or not. If I did, stop me and I won't take up any time repeating it.
Mm-hmm.
But did I give it to you?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. Invasion, one of the definitions is infringement by intrusion. An example of that would be invasion of privacy.
Okay.
And intrusion means to thrust oneself without invitation or welcome into a situation.
Okay.
Now, that's exactly what this so-called caravan, which I'll just call illegal aliens, did in crashing through the fence on the southern border of Mexico.
Okay.
So that it is a definition, a proper definition of invasion that Jim Acosta didn't want to recognize, and he was arguing with Trump about it.
Yeah. I think that when it comes to Jim Acosta, his days are numbered if he tries to pull that again. I don't know how the White House would be able to go through all of this, put some rules in place, and then if we see the exact same thing happen, that he'd be able to stay in there.
the simplest thing should be that Trump should do is Sarah Huckabee already said about 6 months ago that she was going to leave at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just ought to reassign her to the end of the year, you know, someplace in the White House, and close down the whole idea of a White House press conference.
Wow.
You know, and that way, you know, it's all these other people are going to be PO'd at Jim Acosta because of it.
Was it?
You know, they would normally be there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if. Yeah, I guess they could. They've gone through some stretches where they haven't had them in the past.
And you can just put out a press release, you know, a written press release, if the because you know they tend to edit what they want to put on the air anyway. If they're representing the liberal point of view, they're going to, you know, splice it to where it favors them.
Yeah, and it's not like President Trump's inaccessible, because you see him every time he hops on a plane, he goes out there and talks to the press. I mean, it seems like he's talking to him almost every other day. There's a new him going up to the gaggle of reporters and just answering a few questions. So it's not like he's can't be bothered. I mean, he's out there. I don't remember President Obama doing all that.
Well, you're right. I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders was needed like for the first year or so while he was still trying to get his, you know, feet under him in terms of focusing on what way he wanted to go. And she was explaining him, if you might, you know. And at times she still needs to now. I mean, because, you know, at times he does stick his foot in his mouth in the way he expresses something.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, though, you know, I got a kick out of this Trumpy beer.
I know.
Only from the standpoint, if you recall, when Trump was first running, there were those nude photos, or I mean, I didn't see them, but I'm told that his wife, as a model, had some rather explicit photos that were.
Yeah, she did
there.
some photos.
So she was the original Trumpy bear, wasn't she?
Oh boy, Tom, thanks for the joke. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Have a great week.
Well, again, have a good Thanksgiving. I'll talk with you next week or the week after, or whenever.
We'll be here. All right, thanks, Tom. That was nice to hear from Tom. Get a Melania comment in there too. Yeah, if I just go back and think, if only the same media treated President Obama the same way they treat President Trump, then this wouldn't be an issue. I think this would have just been the standard. But they had such a love affair for him for his 8 years in office that they wouldn't dare do any of this stuff under his administration or try to. It would be a night and day difference if we were to look back and say, well, this is how they've always handled things, but it's not how they've always handled things. In fact, this is extraordinary. Let me play this last part before we go to CBS News at the top of the hour. This is what they're playing to in CBS News. So we know that Whitaker has taken over Jeff Sessions' spot. What's going to happen with the Mueller investigation?
You have already made at least one big change, naming Matt Whitaker as your acting attorney general. He has a long record of speaking out against the special counsel and his probe.
I could see a scenario where Jeff Sessions...
So they go to different clips where he's mentioned these things before he was in office. Keep in mind, this is from Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace interview.
...is replaced with a recess appointment, and that attorney general doesn't fire Bob Mueller, but he just reduces the budget so low that his investigation grinds to almost a halt.
The truth is, there was no collusion with the Russians and the Trump campaign.
So I think they pulled clips from MSNBC, and then one was from a radio program, which you heard there.
Did you know, before you appointed him, that he had that record and was so critical of Robert Mueller?
I did not know that. I did not know he took views on the Mueller investigation as such.
And when you found that out?
I don't think it had any effect. If you look at those statements, they really can be viewed either way. But I don't think it would have any
effect. Well, he says there's no collusion.
Chris, I'll tell you what.
He says you can starve the investigation.
Right. What do you do when a person's right? There is no collusion. He happened to be right. I mean, he said it. So if he said there is collusion, I'm supposed to be taking somebody that says there is, because then I wouldn't take him for two reasons. But the number one reason is the fact that he would have been wrong.
Okay. I follow what he's saying here. You can't win. Essentially saying, whatever I do, I can't win. No matter what I put in, no matter who I appoint, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, it's a no-win situation. There is always going to be you, the media, that are going to find fault in absolutely everything that I do. And he's right about that point. If he would have put in a person that was pro the Mueller investigation, there'd be questions about, you know, oh, what's going on here? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I think that President Trump has learned a lot of times that that's going to be the case, and he's just going to have to do what he does. You be you. And that's what gets him in trouble.
If he said that there's no collusion, he's right.
He is going to have to make, or could potentially make, a lot of big calls in the Mueller investigation. If Mueller decides that he wants to subpoena you, the Attorney General, Whitaker, can block that. If Mueller issues a final report, he can decide how much goes to Congress or doesn't go to Congress. You tweeted this week about, quote, Bob Mueller and his gang of Democrat thugs.
Right.
If Whitaker decides in any way to limit or curtail the Mueller investigation, are you okay with that?
Look, it's going to be up to him. I think he's very well aware politically. I think he's astute politically. He's a very smart person, a very respected person. He's going to do what's right. I really believe he's going to do what's right.
But you won't overrule him if he decides to curtail.
I would not get involved.
Don't get involved. That's all he's supposed to do. This is Overnight America.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.